KPCW News Time now, 8:15. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, today is Park City Deputy Fire Marshal's last day on the job. Joining me now in the studio with a look back at his lengthy career, I have Kurt Simister. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning.
So how long have you been working for Park City?
23 and a half years. And they've got my title a little wrong. I'm actually the fire marshal.
Oh, not deputy. You're the fire marshal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. You first started, I think, with working for the city, though, as a building inspector?
I started in the spring of 1995 as a building inspector / fire inspector. Then I moved in to what they call a senior inspector, fire inspector, and then through the years into fire inspector, and then into deputy fire marshal, and then was appointed to fire marshal 6-7 years ago.
Was that after Ron Ivey had retired then?
That was after Ron Ivey retired, and like to say something about Ron. He was a great mentor, and he had some good principles, and I tried my best to follow those and learn the new ways the city was going in different directions.
Yeah. So as fire inspector, I mean, what was your job? I mean, how did you spend your days?
I do a lot of inspections on buildings to make sure that all the fire sprinkling systems, alarm systems, exits are safe for people to occupy, handle complaints, make sure that all the equipment is serviced. I do fire planning, fire safety planning for all the events in town that we have, which are numerous, and also work with the EOC for emergencies and with police, with our partners, Park City Fire District, and many other departments in the city, sustainability, public works, pretty much all of them. Yeah. We work as a good team.
So, I mean, how is it that you test sprinklers? I mean, you can't really turn them on, can you?
Well, you want them to come on if we have a fire, that's for sure. Normally, it's an annual inspection on a fire sprinkling system. So we make sure that all those systems are working and there's no obstructions to the fire heads and people are safe inside the building.
Yeah. I don't think you were around then when we did the testing at Treasure Mountain Junior High School and found out that none of the sprinklers were working back then?
I don't recall that. That must have been when Ron Ivey was here.
Right.
Good discovery.
Big discovery. So the fact that these, you know, the sprinklers, the exit signs, the alarms, that's all based on what, state code?
It's all based on international code and state code. State of Utah's adopted that code in Utah, and it works well. There's no better insurance in a home than a fire sprinkling system. I also do fire investigations with the police chief, Wade Carpenter, who is now the deputy fire marshal. He was the fire marshal after Ron left, and then his workload got so great that job was appointed to me by the manager of the city. And I can tell you that most of the fires that we go to where the fire sprinkler activates, there's only one head that goes off. It isn't like Hollywood. All the heads don't go off when you have a fire. They're heat activated and they go off individually as the fire. So most of the time we're cleaning up water.
Someone told me that you only had to issue 3 citations in all of your years here. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I have a different philosophy on prevention and enforcement. I don't believe that punishment is the best way to get things done. We're in this together. And if I can develop a relationship with a business owner, a promoter, or any citizen, I think that it's a learning curve for them. Our codes are hard to understand, and the best way to get things done is try to work together, think about things common sensely, and make good judgment.
Yeah. So you did have to sometimes be the bad guy during Sundance when you would have to enforce the occupancy limits?
Yes, at some time Park City was quite a wild town, and the problem with that is I look at it as a series of dominoes, and when you have a series of small events, it turns into something big. Occupancy is one of those things. If we have too many people in a building, the exit time and the panic of that causes problems with getting out of the building in a reasonable amount of time. So it is important to keep your occupant loads for the safety of the people who are participating. They want to go home when they want to have fun and go home and not have bad memories.
Yeah, well, then we saw, of course, during your tenure, the horrific events in Oakland and then again in Orlando, where we had too many people in a building.
Yes, too many people, flammables in a building that should never be there. That's another thing we've faced through the years here is plastics and foam plastics, things like that. People like to put them in buildings, especially during the Sundance season, and they're highly flammable, and they're toxic gas. And so those things is what I've really focused on to try to make people safe. You have to think why these things happen and how they happen and stay ahead of them.
So you're wearing a button that says Kurt Approvis. Tell me a little bit about that.
Several years ago, I was walking up doing my routine stuff on Main Street, and I noticed everybody, there's a lot of people, a couple hundred people I noticed had these little yellow buttons on them, and it said, Kurt approved this, and I was wondering what the heck is going on. But I found out that Tina, who works for Sundance Institute, who I respect very much, made 200 or 300 of these buttons up and was handing them out to people.
So that was after you had been by and signed off on something then, huh?
That was after I'd signed off on the Sundance Institute event, all their stuff. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. So over those 23 years, I mean, what have you seen? Any changes in terms of how we make things safer?
Yes, great changes. We've had all departments get together, sustainability, police, our partners, Park City Fire District, EOC, Hugh Daniels has been great, and Wade Carpenter is the police chief, and public works departments, and to handle, we're getting over 100 events every year now, and this is great for the city because it brings a lot of opportunity and progress in and develops businesses in the city. So just all those people working together, and they're just simply marvelous people. The city is real lucky to have what we have here at Park City and our organization. Everybody works together as a team, and we get things done for the benefit of all the people.
Okay. Well, so now what? I mean, this seems really odd to end in the middle of a week, but I guess that makes it for a nice long weekend.
I'm a little emotional about leaving. I love this job. I'm devoted to it. And I think it's important to make people successful. And I've always tried to do that with the business owners, working with them. If they're successful, we're successful. And that's just an important thing to have that devotion. I'm thankful that I've had all these other folks behind me and supporting me, and I'm supporting them. And it's heartfelt to walk away from it. I love this job.
Yeah. Well, so what are you going to do tomorrow?
Wonder what I did today.
I mean, any plans, though, for retirement?
Well, my head's spinning. I'm kind of lost. This is new ground for me. It's a total change in lifestyle. I'm going to, I became a great-grandfather a month ago, and I want to I've spent a lot of time here over the years on weekends and at night on fire investigations, and I want to spend a little more time with my family.
Great. Well, thank you for your service, Kurt. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
That's Kurt Simiston again, Park City's fire marshal. His last day today. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. It's 8:28 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, it was short-lived, but still a blast for Park City's Paralympian Danielle Umstead, who was the first ever blind contestant on Dancing with the Stars. She and her partner Artem Chingvinstev were eliminated after week two on the show last night. On the phone with me with an update, I have Danielle's husband and guide, Rob Umstead. Good morning, Rob.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. So how's she taking it?
She is actually in New York. She had to fly right there after the show last night and appear on Good Morning America this morning. So the whirlwind just keeps going. She's exhausted, and it was pretty sad evening last night. And she had her best dance of the season so far, but it just wasn't enough to keep her in there.
Yeah, it was a tough week leading up to Monday's performance. Both she and her partner got apparently sick before the performance.
Yeah, Artem had some sort of bug, and she ended up getting it as well. And yeah, they had to learn two dances in 4 days, so it was a lot of cramming, a lot of memorization, real mentally draining as well as physically. And she had a great time though. It was a really, really cool experience and really fun for me and my son to go out there and watch her in that environment and, competing against a lot of people that had a lot of stage experience, so a lot of performers in the group, and she definitely has none of that. So
right.
It was great. Something she really wanted to be involved with. And when after she has a couple of days to decompress, I'm sure she'll look back and be like, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, it had to be challenging. I mean, even like you say, I mean, learning two dances in 4 days, even for somebody who can see well, huh?
Exactly. Yeah, it was definitely a challenge.
Yeah,
and she will. She'll be going back for the finale in I think it airs November 19th or 20th, whatever that Monday is. She'll be part of that event.
Yeah. Tell me about how the voting works, because you had told me that she was actually one of two teams that were in the bottom two. What did that have to do with the judge's decision or with the number of votes?
It's a combination of both. So it's the judges' scores, and this week with the two shows they were combined, and then also the phone-in and website voting. But they did say they had some kind of issue with the phone-in voting on Monday night, so they threw that out. So I don't know how that affected the results, but she was going up against people with a lot of social media followers too, so that's it's a tough group to hang with on the vote thing as well. So but thanks to everybody in Park City that tuned in and cast a vote for her. I'm sure it helped get her this far anyway.
Yeah. Does she have any guesses who's going to go on to win it?
Oh boy, there's some pretty strong groups in there. Milo Mannheim, he's a young kid. He looked pretty good last night. And DeMarcus Ware didn't do as well last night, but in the first three dances, he was really solid. And then there's a woman named Tanashi, who's a musician, and she's actually performed with Britney Spears, so she's got a lot of dance experience. And I think one of those three will probably end up at the top seven weeks down the road.
Now, you and your son Brockton actually have been out in California for the last couple of weeks. How did you guys spend your days?
Well, we've been actually traveling back and forth. We're about to get on a plane here to come home, try to get him back up to Trailside Elementary for the second half of the school day. So we've been coming in on Fridays and cruising home after the shows, and just trying to help her as much as we could while we're out here. Getting her from point A to point B to rehearsals, and keep the grocery the refrigerator full of food and get her fed and rested. And we're kind of looking forward to getting her back at home, though.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, so you guys didn't get to do the whole Hollywood Universal Studios Disney tour, huh?
Yeah, not really. We cruised out to Venice Beach for lunch yesterday just to check that scene out.
Yeah. All right. So now, I mean, she gets back, and then what? You've got to start taking dancing lessons together?
Right. I can't even go out with her and hang on the dance floor anymore, so I guess I got to start learning some new moves.
Okay. Hey, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, just say again, thanks for the support from KPCW and everybody in Park City that tuned in. And I guess now we can get focused back on ski racing.
Yeah. Okay. You guys got what do you have coming up this year? Just basically like a circuit? No big world championship?
Yeah, it's a world championship year for us, too. So that's happening in Slovenia and Italy in late January. So we'll try to get ready for that.
Okay. Hey, well, good luck. Hey, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Park City resident Rob Umstead again, the husband of Danielle Umstead, the first ever blind contestant on Dancing with the Stars. Unfortunately, she and her partner were eliminated on the show last night. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. KPCW News Time now, 8:41. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, with election season here, the Utah League of Women Voters is urging voters to become informed about the candidates and the issues on November's ballot. In the studio to tell you how the league is helping, I have members Jill Lesh and Meredith Reed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So who wants to start, Jill, about what the league actually does during election season?
Sure. The League of Women Voters is a nonprofit political organization. We strive to inform voters, get them actively involved in the political process. That means election season is very busy, but we're busy all year round, too. Right now, we have a very active league here in Park City, and the process that we're very involved in is an advocacy. We're advocating for the Prop 4. That's the proposition that will be on all Utah ballots to have an independent redistricting commission draw the lines for congressional and state districts. And the part that we're doing right now is distributing yard signs, lots of them. And if anyone wants them, we'll tell you how to get them.
Okay, we'll talk. Go ahead.
Okay. You can go to our local Facebook page. Just look up League of Women Voters, Park City Unit. And Meredith's email is there. My email is there. Email us, and we will deliver one. And you can post it.
So the league does endorse candidates and support issues?
No, we don't endorse candidates. We do support issues. We research them, and then we advocate with publicity and at the legislature at all levels, at the national level, state level, local level.
All right. So you're only taking a stand on Prop 4, not on any of the others, like the treasure bond or the medical marijuana or the Medicaid expansion?
Correct. So we, the redistricting commission, independent redistricting commission, would increase voter engagement. And so the league is, that is one of the driving forces behind the league, is to increase Democratic participation, get folks to vote, get folks to be part of the process. And so having an independent district draw the lines and ending gerrymandering is something that is totally aligns with the league's purpose and values. So that is why we are supporting that. But it doesn't happen easily. We spend a lot of time researching these issues. We're a nonpartisan organization. So that is ardently, adamantly part of our DNA as an organization, is to be nonpartisan.
Yeah. And the League of Women Voters in Utah worked like crazy to help get those 190,000 signatures to get it on the ballot.
Yeah, so if it does pass, I mean, do you really see a change in how Utahns would vote?
Not really how they would vote. This initiative is about the process. The outcome, we don't know.
I like to point out to people that Summit County is divided into five different state House and Senate districts, and yet we have zero representatives from Summit County in our Utah legislature. And I really think that paints a picture of how our votes here in this county are divided across many districts that don't share our industries, don't share our economy, and what we need to support here in the Wasatch Back. So
yeah, and some would say, I mean, that's five opportunities instead of one to get, you know, to be heard, you know, with, again, somebody who may not, you know, agree with your politics, but you could go to the next one.
Yes, but it decreases the power of a group because you're all split up.
Okay. So you have this voter education resource. It's known as vote411.org. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that is a great website for any person to go to. And all they need to do is put in their address. It does not, you don't have to register. There's no put in your email. You don't have to tell anybody your name. And it will pull up all of the federal, state, and local elections that are in your district where you are. It will tell you the candidates that are running. If the candidates felt that all of the candidates were offered an opportunity to provide information, if they chose to take that opportunity, then their answers to questions are there on the website. Also includes information on all of the ballot initiatives that will be on the ballot, and as well as the Treasure Hill bond.
Yeah. So can you tell me which candidates did not respond to you? Do you have that list in front of you? I don't want to.
No. You can definitely tell when you go. When you put your address in, or any address in, it'll pull up your specific ballot, and it will have the national, the state races, the constitutional amendments. For Park City residents, it'll have the Treasure Open Hill Open Space bond issue, and that's where you can read about them. For example, those three constitutional amendments, they have to do with property tax exemption and special sessions of the legislature. I mean, you really need to study those. So this is the place where you can go and read about it, a lot of information about it, pros, cons, what it does, what it is now.
Yeah, so who put this website together? I mean, is it the leagues?
This is a product produced by the League of Women Voters nationally, and then we choose to participate in it locally in the state of Utah. And so it really does have a broad reach, but also our personal making sure that all the initiatives are covered is by the local members, or ensuring that we're getting the right data and participation.
Okay, so I just pulled up my address here really quick. So just looking at the U.S. Congressional District, we had Democrat Lee Castillo respond, and Utah United Party Eric Eliason respond, the Green Party candidate Adam Davis, and our incumbent Rob Bishop, the Republican incumbent, have not responded. Is that too late for them to respond at this point?
No. They could definitely respond.
And you would put it back up?
Yes.
Put that information
at any
up?
Time they give their information, it will go in there. And there will be another outreach by the League of Women Voters of Utah to contact all the candidates who have not responded. So, candidates, if you haven't responded, look for that and respond, please. That would be great.
Okay, so I'm clicking on as we talk. It's got the Treasure bond, as you mentioned, basically with the bond language, and then in terms of the information here, I'm trying to.
That does not have any pros and cons. It just has the language and what it would do.
Ah, okay.
But others do have pros and cons. An interesting thing about the candidates is if you select two candidates for an office, you can compare them. It'll put them right in columns, right beside each other, and you can compare their answers to the same question. And their answers have not been edited at all. It's just the way they submitted them.
Okay. And then looking also at the Senate race, the U.S. Senate race, we have the Libertarian candidate, Craig Boden, the UNAF, I don't even know what that means, the Caleb Reeve and Jenny Wilson, the Democratic candidate, all responding, but Mitt Romney has not, nor have three others. So, okay, interesting. Very good information there.
And they've been asked more than once. We've invited them repeatedly to submit their answers, and whether they choose to or not is up to them.
Yeah, so you mentioned that there was an active chapter in Park City. Does that represent both Summit and Wasatch counties, or are there?
Yes. We have about 30 members up here that are from Summit and Wasatch counties. We meet the last Tuesday of the month in the Park City Library at 11 o'clock. Everybody is invited. Just come and check us out. We always have a really good program and some action items. You can also look at our Facebook page, of course, Park City League Unit. And you can join the League of Women Voters by going to League of Women Voters of Utah. Our chapter, or our unit, is actually part of the Salt Lake League. So when you join the Salt Lake League, and then you will be in touch with us, and we'd love that.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention?
Oh, so we do have one more thing.
Yes, we do. Do you want to say it?
After the elections are over, and after you've gotten up to speed on everyone who's running by using vote411.org, and if you've got a yard sign on Better Boundaries to support Prop 4, after the elections are over,
you need to recycle those yard signs. As you know, they're all over the place. Park City Recycle Center will take them. The yard signs go in plastic, not in cardboard, and the metal stands go in the big bin for mixed metals. Please recycle.
Okay. Jill Lesh, Meredith Reed, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, coming up October 12th and 13th in the Heber Valley is the Yoga for Service Festival. On the phone with details, I have the organizer, Marty Harger. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Well, thank you. So tell us about it.
Well, the Yoga for Service Festival is just about a week and a half away, and this is our first effort in the Valley to bring together all of the different yoga studios and fitness center yoga locations to come together as a community to raise money for Wasatch High School Food Pantry. This is a brand new program at the high school to try to provide food for students that had formerly received some federal funding that's no longer available to them. So the community are coming together in many forms, and this is a great way for people to, for a very low fee, get a chance over the Friday evening and all day Saturday to practice yoga in various forms, whether you're just getting started and a beginner or you have a very advanced practice. We have over 12 different instructors that will be teaching different types of workshops. And for just $49, people can attend and have a fantastic experience exploring new forms of yoga and also getting to see what's available in the Valley. Sometimes we get locked into a particular place or type of practice, and yoga is really about the journey of self-exploration. So this is a wonderful opportunity to sample a lot of things available in our Valley.
So where's it happening?
This is going to be held at Utah Valley University, the Wasatch campus, beautiful setting up on the hill overlooking the fall leaves, and we're going to be practicing in a couple of different rooms there. We also have options for people if they want to purchase a beautiful Indian lunch buffet. We have a special mala-making workshop, and we also are inviting people who register to think about donating a little something extra to the fundraising effort. So all of the proceeds of this are going to go to the Wasatch School District Food Pantry Program. So it's really a great way to help us with our goal of healing hunger here and helping our community take care of itself and really rise up and raise some money for a fantastic cause while having a lot of fun.
So during Saturday, you'll have a couple of different classes then that people could choose from?
Exactly. We have community classes on Friday evening. We'll have two different sessions that night. But Saturday, we have simultaneous workshops happening for different levels of interest. So some people might prefer something like meditation. Somebody might want to try to learn how to do inversions in a safe environment, maybe a focus more on a restorative practice or a very vigorous vinyasa. So we've got lots of options for people and each time slot so they can really pick the thing that makes most sense for them. And you can attend as much or as little as you choose. It's not that, a required attendance or anything. So it gives people lots of flexibility to see how their day is going. And we've paced it, I think, in a nice way to encourage people to do some exploration together.
All right. And again, tell me a little bit more about this food pantry. Apparently, the school district had some kind of backpack food program that was available to kids who needed some hunger relief over the weekend, and that was discontinued?
Yes. In fact, there were over 700 students that qualified for the federal food programs, and there have been a number of changes in the qualifications for that this year, is my understanding. And one of the things that the school district did was set up a high school food pantry. High school kids, of course, have great appetites, and many of them really relied on this food, particularly on the weekends. So they put together a program that is actually operated by a class called the Community of Caring class. And this allows them to the students are actually stocking the food. They're reaching out into the community to get donations. And they then are helping to operate with the help of the teachers. They're operating the distribution of the food. So students can come in during the day and take food that they need, or they can actually use like a shopping grocery list online and check off what they want and have the food gathered for them and put into a locker with a key so that their name isn't on it or anything. It's very confidential, but it gives them a chance to bring some food home and be able to create meals at home as well.
Okay. So if people are interested in joining you, how to register?
There are a couple things. To register, the easiest way is to go to, I think, our Eventbrite site. And this is something that is not too difficult to find. The Eventbrite location is called yoga4service.eventbrite.com. So it's yoga4service.eventbrite.com. They can also go to our Facebook page, which is October abbreviated. So it's OCT 12 and 13 Yoga for Service Festival. And all the details there, including the teachers, the workshop explanations, and the link to register are there. Really hoping people will support this effort and come have a great time with us, a wonderful Friday evening and all-day Saturday camp practice in many different forms of yoga, and explore something that can help our community here and help our neighbors to make sure that they help heal hunger here.
Okay. Again, that's Friday night, 6 to 8:30, and then again Saturday from 9 to 4:30. You also have, I guess, a number of booths set up that people get more of that festival atmosphere?
Yeah, absolutely. On Saturday, we're going to have a yoga marketplace. So we have lots of fun things for yogis to explore, everything from jewelry and clothing to different types of accessories and fun ways to take care of your health. We've got lots of experiential booths, so please make sure you stop by and take advantage of that as well to support what we're trying to do and give some exposure to both yoga and to the need to support one another in the Wasatch County area.
Okay, Marty, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Marty Harger. Again, the Yoga for Service Festival happening Friday, October 12th and 13th at the Utah Valley, Utah Wasatch campus.